relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Can't get enough of my dulcet tones. Want exclusive content that you can't find anywhere else, including my take on the real story behind the fake news? Join my cabinet, Gorka's Cabinet, today. Go to sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A.com. Click on the Gorka's Cabinet banner and join the most exclusive club out there for content you can't find anywhere else and the knowledge you need. Gorka's Cabinet at sebgorka.com.
It began in China, a virus now spreading throughout the world.
This is a global pandemic.
What should we do to protect ourselves and our families?
Right now, we have to start implementing both containment and mitigation.
Are we behaving rationally?
So I disagree with President Trump on many things, but I actually think the travel ban piece of his strategy has been, in many ways, warranted.
Or overreacting.
So this is closing the barn door after the animals have already gotten out.
For the next hour, the answers to your questions. The coronavirus pandemic.
The Salem Radio News Special Report.
God gave us grace on November 8, 2016 to change the course we were on. God had been taken out of our schools and lives. A nation had turned its back on God. And I encourage you to use this time at home to get back in the Word, read our Bibles, and spend time with our families. Our president gave us so much hope where just a few short months ago, we had the best economy, the lowest unemployment, and wages going up. It was amazing. With our great president, vice president, and this administration, and all the great people in this country praying daily, we will get through this and get back to a place that's stronger and safer than ever.
That was Mike Lindell, the inventor of the MyPillow, a great American, a man who was speaking from the podium in the Rose Garden about what his company is doing to create equipment to protect first responders, manufacturing masks instead of pillows. And what happened? He was attacked mercilessly because of his statement of faith at the end. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump, and we are back with the third Salem Radio Network special report on the coronavirus with my colleagues, Mike Gallagher, Larry Elder, Dennis Prager, and Hugh Hewitt, and our White House correspondent Greg Cluxton for the whole hour. Mike Gallagher, are you with us?
I am, Seb. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. You can follow this man at Radio Talker Mike on Twitter and also MikeOnline.com. Mike, I have to ask you, because I know that you two are a man of deep, abiding faith. I thought it was so delightful, so heartwarming to see Mike, who makes our shows possible because of his product, MyPillow, who has turned 75% of his factory around to respond to the coronavirus, and the reaction in the media afterwards. Isn't this a time for us to come together, Mike?
Well, it was fascinating that he was with five or six other CEOs and other, you know, who represented other companies doing the same thing, and yet the media didn't turn their vitriol towards them at all. It was just all directed at the, as Acosta put him, or as you call him, Abilio.
Yes.
The Mr. Pillow guy. Mr. Pillow and a PR stunt. I just continue to be astounded at the hatred and the dissent that is coming from a lot of people. But on the other hand, the good news is business is booming at MyPillow, because as 75% of the factories, as you said, are being dedicated to cranking out face masks for hospital workers exclusively, they're still selling product, and many, many people want to support MyPillow and Mike Lindell. I mean, you and I both know what a great product it is, a great American company.
Yes.
But more than that, people are saying, enough already. I mean, I've just been really trying hard to find the bipartisanship in people. And make no mistake, Seb, there are a lot of people who are rooting for Mike, even if they don't like his politics. But this is a guy who a few years ago didn't even know really the difference between a he'll tell you between a conservative and a liberal.
Right, he was totally apolitical.
Totally apolitical. Yeah. I mean, he just felt kind of drawn to. He feels drawn to do good for people, and as I've gotten to know him over the years, this is a good and decent man and an American story of redemption. You know, he lost everything. I mean, this was a crack addict. He had hit rock bottom. His fellow dealers staged an intervention because they cared about him so much. He found the Lord. He found God. It's why he always wears his cross around his neck. He tries so hard to do good for people. He does a lot. I mean, he's got the Lindell Recovery Addiction Network.
Yes.
He helps fellow addicts, and he helps, you know, connect people. I mean, this is the kind of work he does. And so it hurt me on a personal level to see the way people were attacking him. On the other hand, he knows he's doing great stuff. And boy, what a godsend that these hospital workers so desperately need these masks. And kudos to all the companies that are stepping up, that are trying to get these needed medical equipment and medical supplies to our people on the front lines. Think about it, Seb. Those are like the soldiers in
yes.
a war.
Yeah, know? Absolutely. They're, we're talking to Mike Gallagher. He has the 9 to 12 shift on Salem Radio out of New York Eastern Time. I know you want to talk about the incredible 2-hour. White House Corona Response Team briefing from last night. I just have to mention what happened the night before. You have this incredible news. Number one, we have the chloroquine, the hydroxychloroquine, 11,000 doses requested by New York, 3 million tablets donated to America by the German pharmaceutical company Bayer. Then you have the hospital ships deployed to New York, to Los Angeles, to take the strain off the hospitals already there. And then lastly, it's incredible. I mean, we had Secretary Azar on the show yesterday.
Sure.
And he confirmed, it's never happened before, that Abbott Laboratories managed to create this testing system that the president unboxed that will give you a result within 5 to 15 minutes at point of care, at your local doctor, at the clinic. These are remarkable results, and they have to be recognized at a time when we are in a national emergency, Mike.
Well, Seb, I mean, it's dramatic to watch how the speed and the efficacy in which so many companies are trying to come to the aid of millions and millions of Americans. Jacob Glanville, who runs the biotech company Distributed Bio, has tweeted out that there's a new antibody therapy. This is a doctor, incidentally, featured in the Netflix documentary Pandemic. You know, as we're all binge watching and everybody's watching
right.
Tiger King and, you know, all these binge worthy shows. I'm hooked on Ozark right now. But the documentary Pandemic featured this San Francisco doctor named Jacob Glanville. He says, he tweeted out today, "I'm happy to report that my team has successfully taken 5 antibodies that back in 2002 were determined to bind and neutralize, block and stop the SARS virus. We've evolved them in our laboratory. Now they're vigorously stopping COVID-19 as well." So he says that this is now being tested by the U.S. military. There's so many reasons to be hopeful and optimistic. But on the other hand, the president reminds us that we're in for a couple of weeks of real misery and hell. We're going to lose thousands of lives. And Seb, that press event yesterday, I happened to watch every minute of it. I've tried to watch most of them, but it was like 2 hours and 15 minutes, I think.
Yes.
And he stood there. He didn't want to leave. I mean, I think he was outlasting the reporters. Never have we seen a president be this transparent where he's there. What's next? He actually got along with Abilio yesterday. I mean, they had a civil, if not cordial, sort of exchange. I mean, Acosta still is going to be Acosta, but they were, you know, it was different. There was a different tone. It was somber. It was informational. Listening to Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, all these people who are trying so hard to get America through this. I wish every man, woman, and child could see every second of that White House task force press briefing yesterday, because it was just riveting and powerful and frankly enlightening, but very serious, very somber. When you see these models, 100 to 240,000 perhaps loss of life, they hope that number will be less, but you know the worst is ahead, Seb, and that's where we've got to be resilient and strong and ironclad in our love and compassion.
This point is crucial. Even if you're not political. You listen to our shows, you like talk radio, you're watching this on YouTube. Even if you're not a political junkie, it is absolutely imperative that all Americans take time to watch these briefings. This is where you're going to get the facts. This is where you're going to get the people who are at the tip of the spear, the Dr. Birx, the Dr. Fauci, the head of the FDA, the Surgeon General of Vice Admiral Adams. And on top of that, it is vitally important that as Americans, whatever your interests are, wherever they lie, whatever your line of business, whether you're retired or not, do not fall victim. We had Secretary Azar emphasize this yesterday on my show. You mustn't fall victim to fake news. Right. There are people who are making money out of bilking individuals when it comes to the coronavirus right now. There are people who are relying upon clickbait. There are those who want to politically profit from the tragedy of others. So I've said it on this show. I'm going to say it again and again and again. Stick to sources you can rely upon, whether it's Salem Media or whether it is the government websites, CDC, the Centers for Disease Control.gov, the White House.gov. And then lastly, Secretary Azar said on our show, he gets his information at coronavirus.gov. If it's not on there, he doesn't have it. So if you want to be as informed as a cabinet member, stick to sites that you know are the truth. We're talking to our buddy, Mike Gallagher. Follow him, Radio Talker Mike. I'm Sebastian Gorka. We will be back also with Larry Elder next here on the Salem Radio Network Coronavirus Special Report. Don't touch that dial.
We now return to a Salem Radio News special report, the coronavirus pandemic.
I'm not actually sure, if you want to be honest, that we should carry that live. I think we should run snippets. I think we should do it afterwards and get the pertinent points to the American people, because he's never, ever going to tell you the truth. And guess what he's going to do? If you ask a question that is a legitimate question, and if he doesn't like the question, he is going to say, whether you're being mean or not, or whatever he wants to call it, he's going to say, that is a mean, nasty question. Why? Because he wants his base to think that the media is being mean to him and they're attacking him. It is all a plot. It is all orchestrated. And if you can't see it, I don't know what you're looking at.
It's all a plot. This from the man who thought the Malaysia Airlines jet disappeared into a black hole and that the greatest threat facing America is white men. We are back with the Salem Radio Network Coronavirus Special Report with Mike Gallagher and our other national co-host for this segment. He is the Sage of South Central. He is Larry Elder. Check him out at LarryElder.com and on Twitter at Larry Elder. Larry Elder, did you ever think there'd be a time when cable news network hosts would be saying, it's time to not broadcast the White House because it's all a plot?
Well, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, look at what Donald Trump has been dealing with for the last 3 years. A quarter of the Democratic delegation didn't show up for his inauguration. Imagine, because of Obama's assertion that he wanted to pull all the troops and do Obamacare, that a quarter of the Republican delegation in the House didn't show up for his inauguration. When they die, the first line on the obituary would be, Senator so-and-so, House member so-and-so just died, comma, one of the few people to boycott the first black president's inauguration in history, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
A quarter of it, 12 of them didn't go to his first State of the Union speech. And then, of course, 67 House members joined with, I think it was Jamie Raskin, to have a bill to invoke the 25th Amendment, because Donald Trump, of course, was too unfit mentally to hold the office. We have the 2.5-year collusion stuff. So, of course, it doesn't surprise me that the media would not want to broadcast these briefings, because they've added to the President Trump's stature. His poll numbers have never been higher. People are realizing how hard he's working, even if he's made some mistakes, even if he, in my opinion, understated the gravity of the situation. He was following the best medical advice he had, and people are seeing that. So they don't want to see the press conferences. All you need to know about CNN are two words: Jeff Zucker. Recall the Project Veritas tape, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, about the morning phone calls that Jeff Zucker conducts with all of his minions, in which he told them, get back to impeachment. You have people working for CNN on tape complaining that Jeff Zucker effing tells us what to say, close quote. So that's all you need to know. And as far as Don Lemon is concerned, it's hard to figure out who is the worst of all these TV pundits slash hosts. Al Sharpton set the bar pretty low, but Don Lemon is getting close to meeting it.
But by him, Mike Gallagher in the background. Mike, your response?
Well, my vote would be for Chuck Todd. I mean, he's pretty brutal. I mean, this whole business of blood on hands and all that. But Larry makes such a terrific point. Remember, Trump closed off travel from China while the impeachment trial was ongoing. You know, I mean, the day 2.5 weeks later, the White House asked for the first $1.25 billion in emergency coronavirus funding. So, you know, all that's going on. This puts in stark contrast, I think, with how silly and ridiculous the whole impeachment process was. It kind of puts it in perspective for us all.
But isn't there something, I mean, Larry, isn't there something that's really dark at this point? We know they have an agenda. We know they have a political bias. We know 3.5 years they've been attacking this president. They've been supporting any action the DNC wishes to take. But to say that they are in a position arrogating to themselves the role of censor and saying, we're not going to show you what the president is saying about this national emergency. We'll decide what you get to see. Isn't there something dictatorial about that?
Well, again, it's a logical extension of what they've been doing for the last three and a half years. They've been looking to find something to get this guy out of office on. And in Trump's defense, one of the reasons why, in my opinion, he had the reaction initially he had was because he knew the media was looking for something, anything, to offset the great economic story that he had. But no, I'm not surprised by this at all. Look, this is what these guys do. This is how they roll. We know that 4 out of 5 reporters is a Democrat. We know that the Washington Post has never in its history endorsed a Republican president. The New York Times has not done so since 1956. This is what we're up against. We're up against Hollywood, media, and academia, and this doesn't surprise me at all.
But what is the danger when we have a fourth estate that isn't reporting the news? Doesn't this pose a danger to our capacity to respond to this emergency as efficiently as we should?
Of course it does. And the good news is we have a president who is exposing the media for what they are. And I think people are conditioned now not to trust them to a degree that they've never distrusted them before. The good news is there are alternative sources of media. We've got Salem. We've got Fox. We have One American Network. We have all these other bloggers. We've got these conservative outlets. We've got the Daily Caller. We've got the Daily Wire. We've got more ability to get our information to people today than at any time in history. And the monopoly that ABC, NBC, CBS Nightly News used to have over what people know has been broken and broken forever.
Mike, are we going to have to put up with this forever?
Well, I don't know about forever, but, you know, yesterday it was reported that CNN wouldn't even carry the president's portion of the press conference. And you know what? You know my reaction? Because I'm right with Larry. There are so many. That's why we're here. That's why so many other places exist. It was all. It's like it's irrelevant to me. I mean, I you know, oh, well, hate it for the CNN viewer who isn't enlightened with a bunch of information from the commander in chief. But so be it. That's why there's Fox News, as Larry said. That's why there's One American News. That's why we're all in place. There's an antidote to that. And so the stranglehold that CNN used to have is no more. Just look at the numbers. Look at where they sit in the ratings, and you realize that people are turning away from them, frankly, in droves.
Let's be very clear for those who are not familiar with it. CNN on a good night, gets 600,000 viewers. And I did the math. That's less than 0.3% of the U.S. population. Larry Elder, you are the sage of South Central. We have 2 minutes left with you in this segment. What is your message for the people where you broadcast from in California and the rest of America in the time of the next 27 days where we have to keep practicing the social distancing and many businesses are going to suffer even more?
Yeah, I think we all have to just take it day by day and follow the commonsensical advice and maintain your social distancing and wash your hands and don't touch your face and the commonsensical stuff that people tell us to do. That's about all we can do. And at some point, this economy has to open up again. You can't have the cure be worse than the disease. And I think President Trump is trying to work his way through this. No one's seen anything like this before. I just saw an interview with a professor from former professor from Harvard, doctor, and he said, we un- underestimated the degree to which this virus is contagious, close quote. So a whole bunch of people did not give the kind of advice that, in retrospect, they should have given. That's nobody's fault.
But let's just remind our viewers, our listeners, that when the president was taking action, when he was blocking transport to this country, travel from hot zones like China, what were the Democrats trying to do? They were trying to impeach him. We're talking to Larry Elder. Follow him on Twitter at Larry Elder. He has a very good Instagram game as well, and also at LarryElder.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Next up with us is Dennis Prager. And remember, stick to reliable sources of information, ones that have proven themselves, like Salem, over years, over decades, to be trustworthy. There is a lot of fake news. There is a lot of dangerous information out there. Don't fall hostage to it. If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
We now return to a Salem Radio News special report. The coronavirus pandemic.
He is our fellow national radio host and also the creator of the incredibly important and influential PragerU. He is, of course, Dennis Prager, my friend. Follow him on Twitter at Dennis Prager, and please support PragerU. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is our special, our third special on the coronavirus, broadcasting across the nation. Dennis, welcome to our joint program.
You should only know that I am sitting in my home, needless to say, smoking a cigar.
Oh, stop it. You just put me in a bad mood. I come into the studio every day and I can't smoke here.
I knew it.
All right. Well, they've banned cigars. They've banned cigars. There's now a national order banning cigars. No, only kidding. Let's get to the business.
That would not shock me.
Let's get to the business of the day. We have a short segment with you. You were with us for the whole hour last time. I want to have one issue that you will cover for us. In November, December, January, and February, the left were trying to remove President Trump from office. At the same time, the coronavirus was expanding across the whole of China to every single province as the president was shutting down travel from China to America in January 31st of this year. Could there be a greater disparity between the two political camps than there is today, Dennis Prager?
The disparity is actually philosophical, psychological, existential, the moral. We see the world so differently that, as I have said for years, the gulf between left and right is unbridgeable. And it is a naive American who thinks, oh, if we could only bring everybody together. If some people believe that they're looking at a box and others believe they're looking at a circle, you can't bring them together. There's no compromise between a box and a circle. Every conservative source that I know, it doesn't mean that it's true for every single conservative, obviously not. But there is fear among conservatives for example, an overstepping of the bounds of government that is a very warranted fear. I mean, to tell places we will arrest you if you are found outside your home, this is unprecedented in American history. And as I ended my column yesterday at Town Hall, I do believe that the left finds the famous Patrick Henry statement, give me liberty or give me death, to be absurd. In fact, unfathomable. We are worried about the attack on liberty. We are worried about an overreaction, but they're not. Their only concern, which we of course share, I mean, our loved ones and our own lives. I am in the category of the most likely to be hurt, and yet I'm saying this. We have other concerns in addition to saving lives. They don't.
We have 1 minute left with you, Dennis. Is there any circumstance, given this is now a contingency that has taken 3,000 lives, is there any circumstance which would make the left reconsider their approach to the nation we share?
Well, not in this regard. I mean, if let's say there were zero more deaths, and remember, two or three years ago, 80,000 Americans died of the regular flu, but there were no statistics every day on the front page of the New York Times or on CNN and so on.
Right.
So if it ended tomorrow, all they would say was, we were right. It is the mitigating that we did is what saved 2 million lives. And they would go on. And then why won't this happen again? Why won't they call a national emergency on global warming? Global warming threatens the entire Earth, far more people than even a million. According to them, that's an existential threat to biological life. Why will they not declare a national emergency if they have a Democratic Congress and a Democratic president? No one has an answer to that question.
I know that you have been raising that question every day on your show, and it is one we cannot lose sight of. Yes, we have to deal with this threat. Yes, we have to protect as many as we can, but we mustn't establish precedents today that will be used in perpetuity to denude us of our liberties, because this nation was founded uniquely on the principle of individual liberty as derived from the fact that we are made in the image of our Creator. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump. This is the SRN Coronavirus Special Report with all our national hosts. We will be back with Hugh Hewitt and Mike Gallagher momentarily. We are broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, natural, drug-free pain relief that works. Tens of thousands of Americans are enjoying relief because of this incredible product from Pete and Seth Talbot. I myself am now 6 months pain-free from my lower back pain condition. A month ago, I had knee surgery. I trebled up my Relief Factor taking. Why? Because it actually attacks the source of the pain, which is the inflammation. Find out for yourself if you could be the next success story by ordering your 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. It costs a measly $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. What can you get for less than a dollar a day? Perhaps only one thing. Liberation from your daily pain. Find out now. It can be at your door in 3 days or less. And I guarantee you, Dr. G's guarantee, if you take Relief Factor every morning and every evening as I do for 3 weeks, you will know if it works for you like it works for me. As the president says at his rallies, what have you got to lose? ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Do it now.
We now return to a Salem Radio News special report, the coronavirus pandemic.
I never forget I'm the new guy on the block, and now I'm going to take my life in my hands and get between two of our national hosts. I promised Hugh Hewitt this would be his segment to kick off, but Mike Gallagher very politely requested that he be able to respond to what our colleague Dennis Prager said about the left-right divide. So don't blame me, Hugh. Mike, the mic is yours.
And Hugh will give me grief for it afterwards, don't worry. But I did want to add one quick thought to Dennis's point about the left-right battle right now. It strikes me that there are so many times when we see conservatives looking for what's great about America and celebrating American exceptionalism, and oftentimes on the left they seem to bemoan the problems with America and, you know, a kind of a hatefulness towards the United States. So this probably shouldn't be a big surprise. You know, we want to lift people up and find the good.
Yes.
And praise it. They often just want to tear the country down and complain about what's terrible about it. So maybe this isn't such a surprising conflict.
No, if you believe America's the problem, problem, then of course this is what you'd expect from that side. Thank you, Mike. He's Radio Talker Mike on Twitter. Now, Hugh Hewitt, the man who has the early morning shift on Salem Radio. He is, of course, the head of the Nixon Foundation. Follow him at Hugh Hewitt and HughHewitt.com. Hugh, I'd love to get your take as an arch communicator on the coronavirus presidential response team briefings. Every day it seems as if we're getting even more and more information. I tell people this is one of the places where you can get the real deal. How are they walking the line? How is the president and his team walking the line, Dr. Birx, Dr. Fauci, the Surgeon General, in terms of not overloading the American people with too much detail? Yesterday, there was 2 hours and 10 minutes with graphs and all kinds of details. What's Hugh Hewitt's take?
They can't do enough of it, Seb. I was on Meet the Press on Sunday and was asked this question by Chuck and said, look, I think the president should be doing more, leaning into it. Eugene Robinson disagreed with me. But my explanation is this. Not every American, like Mike and I and you and Dennis and Larry, watch every minute of every briefing.
Right.
They dial in and out. And
yes.
The success of the 30 days to slow the spread depends upon repetition, repetition, repetition. And what I call the Trump show, for shorthand, is of enormous utility to shut in Americans, lonely Americans, Americans who are disconnected, Americans who don't have cable. It's carried on every basic network if they carry it, and it's saving lives. And so I think it is actually a burden on them all, but it is of extraordinary consequence in messaging, stay at home 30 days to slow the spread.
Now, you've described your work going on Meet the Press and the other similar things you do as missionary work, as a conservative. I'm curious, are you going to challenge your hosts, your fellow contributors in the mainstream media with regard to this decision that they've made, allegedly, not to show those presidential briefings in their entirety, to censor them from in front of the American people? Or do you think this is just something they will pay a price for when people just look for that coverage elsewhere?
Well, both. I do tweet out whenever I see something, and I see on my split screen one of the networks not covering it, and they all do a different thing. C-SPAN is the only faithful relayer of everything. If I see someone not covering it and a piece of information, life-saving information, goes uncovered because they have a talking head opining about something that nobody cares about, I point out that they've just done a disservice. However, I also try Mike used Alex Haley's epithet already, which is find the good and praise it. I thought yesterday the Acosta-Trump exchange was valuable. I thought the Yamiche Alcindor President Trump exchange yesterday was valuable, so I praised it. But I will say this. There's one question, Seb Gorka and Mike Gallagher, I listened to you both respond to this, that drives the left crazy, which is to ask very simply, did impeachment impact pandemic preparation? I asked Leader McConnell that yesterday. I've asked a half dozen senators this question, and it just drives the left crazy, which means it's a nerve toucher, right? It's like the dentist without anesthetic. They do not want to consider what impeachment did to pandemic preparation. So they tell me how many times the president played golf, which is irrelevant. They tell me how many rallies he held, which is irrelevant. The question is, did it impact pandemic preparation? And anecdotal evidence that it did not 100% consume the president's attention span says nothing about the Senate, where it required attendance and 100% attention, much less the entire media world. So, of course it did. They don't want to deal with that.
That's a great point, Hugh. Mike, Chuck Todd saying the president has blood on his hands, gone too far.
Say that, Seb. Did not say that. I got to defend Chuck. He posed it in the alternative. He posed it in the alternative, and I booted a question in front of a national audience. I want to defend Chuck right now. I booted a question with Ben Carson. It got me booed. And what Chuck said to the vice president was, he posed, does he have blood on his hands, or is that too far? And the vice president, that's too much. And so to pose in the alternative.
I don't think that's defensible. The fact that he may have realized it was too much as soon as it was out of his mouth. But we can't read his soul. Mike, your take.
I saw Dana Perino point out this week that phrase is such a cliche, and it's so lazy to even say something like that, and it's ghastly. And, you know, I want to point out, New Yorkers are painfully aware that Mayor de Blasio was saying as late as March 10th, essentially go out and live your life, or, you know, go to movies, I mean, to blame all of this on Trump is so, back to her point, lazy and short-sighted. This caught the world by surprise, and everybody knows it. Nobody saw this coming. Anybody who says that they did, that's just wishful thinking, and it's an attempt to demonize a president that they don't like. That's all it is, and it's sad and sickening to me to see people play politics. And I don't say that about de Blasio to blame him any more than people who hate Trump want to blame him.
There is one person to blame. His name is President General Secretary Xi Jinping. He hid the data. That is who is responsible.
All right, but I'm going to put you on the spot right now, Hugh, because I can. We've got 30 seconds left. You are in the trenches with the mainstream. I call it the fake news industrial complex. How would you grade, in the last 30 seconds, Hugh Hewitt, the behavior and the coverage of the coronavirus, the Chinese virus, by the mainstream media?
They are rapid learners. They're getting better.
ever the diplomat. He is Hugh Hewitt. Follow him.
Someone call me the ambassador to the left this week.
I'm a wise man. I hope it pays well. Go to HughHewitt.com and follow him at Hugh Hewitt. He is, of course, our fellow national radio show host, and he is the CEO of the Nixon Foundation. God bless you, Hugh.
Thanks
for joining us. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. We are broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, I don't have talking points. I don't need a script. I live it. This product is so much part of my life now. 17 months ago, I was approached by Pete and Seth Talbot, the incredible father and son team behind this product, and I said, I'm not endorsing this unless it's real and it works. I took it for 2 weeks, and my lower back pain was gone, and it is still gone today. That's how remarkable Relief Factor is. When I had my knee surgery a month ago, I got off those synthetic painkillers as fast as I could, trebled my dose of Relief Factor, and it worked. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans, and it could be you. Find out right now by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That works out to less than a dollar a day. What can you get for less than a dollar a day? Nothing except potentially liberation from your pain. Order it today. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. And I guarantee you, Dr. G's guarantee, if you take it for 3 weeks, morning and night, you'll know if it works for me like it works for you. No, other way around. If it works for you like it works for me. Don't hesitate. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. We will be back with Salem's White House correspondent Greg Cluxton for the latest update on what you need to know about the federal response to this national threat.
We now return to a Salem Radio News special report. The coronavirus pandemic.
Portions of America First are sponsored by Moral Compass LLC's No Safe Spaces movie.
We are so excited to welcome to America First two new affiliates, the mighty 990 AM, 107.9 FM, KWAM in Memphis, Tennessee, as well as News Talk 104.1 FM, 1600 AM, WEJS, in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Welcome to both of you. We have also an offer for you. If you are cooped up, if you are going crazy at home, you can watch Dennis Prager's new film, No Safe Spaces, at nosafespaces.com, and you will get 25% off streaming if you plug in the code SAVE25. That's nosafespaces.com. Dennis Prager's new fabulous film with Adam Carolla. Now, at the end of our special, we have the latest update from our White House correspondent, SRN's very own Craig Cluxton, on what you need to know on the federal response to the coronavirus.
Americans are now bracing for what President Trump warned last night could be one of the roughest 2 or 3 weeks we've ever had in our country. He and top public health officials released projections showing a best-case scenario of at least 100,000 coronavirus deaths. And in presenting the sober news to the country, the president said that these coming days are going to be very painful. Now, the White House emphasized the urgent need for Americans to follow social distancing guidelines until the end of April. Infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci said the mitigation is working even with rising COVID-19 cases and deaths. He said the mitigation results lag, so it's important to keep our foot on the accelerator, as he put it, and follow the stay-at-home guidelines. Today, Wall Street reacted negatively to the health and economic projections. The Dow dropped nearly 1,000 points, a 4.5% loss. Earlier today, Vice President Mike Pence said the models for the outbreak show that the U.S. is on a trajectory comparable to hard-hit Italy. The vice president also reassured the country that there's enough food and supplies to get through this pandemic. He traveled to a Walmart distribution center in Virginia to thank employees there for keeping store shelves stocked. In other headlines, governors from Florida, Pennsylvania, and Nevada today issued statewide stay-home orders. More than 30 states now have such orders in place. And amid the grave situation facing the United States, President Trump is applauding the work of a Christian ministry. He thanked Samaritan's Purse for building a 68-bed field hospital in Manhattan's Central Park. It's there to help relieve pressure on overwhelmed New York City hospitals. And responding to a question from SRN News, the president said he has a group of spiritual advisors and faith leaders offering support to him during this time of national emergency.
That was Greg Cluxton, our White House correspondent. If you appreciate the special coronavirus reports, if you were as disturbed as millions of Americans were at the way Mike Lindell was treated after his little speech of thanks and faith at the White House, support those who support us and make these shows possible. Go to MyPillow.com, support Mike Lindell. And as always, follow the guidelines the president has given us, and we will persevere.